Old Testament book of Isaiah, the prophet, chapter 65, verses 17 through 25, and 66, 22 through 24. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But ye be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, or an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die at 100 years old, but the sinner shall be 100 years old and shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lion shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of His precious word. We Christians are people who believe in heaven. All you have to do is look in the hymn book, just thumb through it, and we add every few pages, there's a hymn about heaven, about when we all get to heaven, how we're going to sing and shout the victory. Maybe you turn to an old hymnal and it said, "Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing and your heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there?" And I remember a little feller named Russ Justice, Holy Spirit, called him the cookie jar. Came in with us at Sister Gilmer's tent meeting down in Taylorsville, West Virginia. And he came singing, "In Childhood I Heard of a Heaven. And I wondered if it could be true, if there were sweet mansions eternal up there somewhere beyond the blue. Then I got a vision of heaven, my heart overflowing within." Oh, he goes on to talk about heaven, happy home above. Heaven, a place of sweet peace and love. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling on. Throughout the whole of Christianity, whether you're singing High Church in the Episcopal Church or Holy Roller Church in Clendenin, we sing about heaven. Because we're looking forward to it. We're rejoicing in it. Our hearts are overwhelmed with the sadness and degradation and sin and hopelessness of what's going on in the earth. But our spirits are raised up to heaven's tableland, and we see the glory of God when we talk about heaven. And we believe that this is not all there is to it, that God did not just create us to live and to die like a dog or something. But God created us for an eternal purpose, and we have the opportunity to be there. I pity the people in the Old Testament, in spite of this great prophecy that I just read from Isaiah. They had no conception. They had no revelation of a heaven, a personal heaven where I could go to. A personal heaven that could be mine. where I could have a relationship with my God, where I could visit my loved ones who had gone on, where I could be really me. I hear people with all kinds of ideas about heaven, and I'm saddened by it. I see every once in a while in the comics, in the paper, they depict heaven, and it's always people standing around on clouds and looking somber and all kinds of things. But I have to tell you, there is a real heaven created by a real God for His real people. And I just want you to look into the book of God about heaven, because I aim to go there. That's my destination. And I hope it's yours, and I hope you've got your ticket ready. Hope it's been punched by the blood of Calvary and you're ready to go, because you don't want to miss the train. You do not want to miss it. He's not coming two or three times to receive the church back. There's not going to be a later train. There's not going to be one next week. You know, if I miss my appointment with the doctor, oh well, I'll make another, and in 6 months maybe I'll get in. If I miss my appointment with my dentist, I say, woo-wee, I got off today, but I'll make another appointment. If I even miss an appointment with the IRS, you can believe they'll make another appointment for you. But I have to tell you, folks, if you miss the appointment that God has for us, there's not another load coming. There's not another train coming. And you all remember the joke about the little boy who thought he was getting up a load tonight? Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm getting up the load, the only load that's going to go. When Jesus comes and the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel sounds and the Lord steps out on the parapets of glory and walks across the universe and steps down here to this earth and goes around it in the twinkling of an eye, and every soul that's been saved is resting in the earth. Their bodies are going to be resurrected. Their spirit's going to be returned to their bodies, and they're going to be glorified and go with Him. My friend, that's it. That's the trip. That's what you've got to be. So you have to ask yourself, well, what is heaven? Well, in the simplest terms, heaven is where God is. That's why we call Him our Heavenly Father. That's why Jesus prayed and said, Our Father who art in heaven. Consistently, we speak of God being in heaven. The Old Testament people didn't know much about a personal heaven, but they did know that there was a God who was in heaven. And they talked about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And they talked about the God of heaven who was controlling what was going on this earth. So my friend, heaven is where God is. Wherever He is, that's heaven. Now I know He's omnipresent. I know God is present everywhere. I don't care if it's in a beer joint or in hell itself. And you say, oh, come on, God's not in hell. Well, the Bible says He is. Said, though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Isn't that what the psalmist said? Absolutely. God is omnipresent. Now, His omnipresence is God the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you something. There is a heaven where God Himself is on a throne. There is a throne. There is a central government, if you will, of this universe. And that's where God is in heaven. So we look at it and we say, well, what is heaven? It's where God is. You say, well, what is it, a state of mind? Well, if you believe the Hindus, you'd think it's a state of nirvana or something. You believe some religious people who claim to be Christians, and they'll tell you that heaven is not a real thing. It's just a concept that we have, and it keeps us motivated to going on, but it really doesn't exist. I've come to tell you something today. Heaven is more than a state of mind. I want you to know that heaven is a place. It's a place as physical and as touchable as this oak in this pulpit right here is. You say, how can you say for sure that heaven's a place? Well, a fellow named Jesus Christ, who came down from glory and lived here in this earth, said, I am going to prepare a, say it, place, not a state of mind, not a state of spirit, but He said, I am going to prepare a place for you. Now, that's great, my friend. And if you want to read the scriptures about heaven, it talks about it like it's a real thing, doesn't it? Talks about it having trees and water, and you say, well, does it have animals? Yeah, it has animals. Beasts, at least, standing around the throne, has fruit and has flowers, has precious things, all kinds of nice things. But it speaks consistently of heaven being a place. Now, I have to tell you, if only our spirits were going, we wouldn't need a place. If only our spirits were going to heaven, we wouldn't need a place. Why would we? Why would a spirit need a place? But not just our spirits. How many of you will say with the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the dead? I mean, that's the whole hope, that the dead are going to be raised incorruptible. So they're raised to go to a place that's not a state of mind. In fact is, God says through Isaiah, through John and other people, that he's going to renew the heavens and the earth. There's going to be a day of refreshing come. There's going to be a day of restitution of all things. In case you ever entertained the idea that Satan might be winning and God might be losing, you need to rethink what you're saying. In case you might think that, well, it's just all going to hell in a handbasket and the earth's just going to dissolve and the heavens are going to dissolve and finally it's all just going to fade away and nothing's going to come of it. If you believe that at all, even close to it, get it out of your mind, because there's going to be a renewal of the heaven and the earth. He said, I am going to create what? A new heaven and a new earth. Now, that's not a state of being, that's a place. I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And this new heaven and new earth has physical properties to it, and it's going to be renewed. You say, is the earth going to be destroyed? You say, the Bible says it is. The Bible also says the earth standeth forever. Think about it. You see what's going to happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. God is going to renew his creation. Satan is not going to win this planet. This planet, in the end, is going to belong to God. It's going to be cleansed. It's going to be renewed. And from the new heaven, there's coming a holy city, the capital of the universe. The great God of creation is coming down in that glorious city that I think is like a pyramid. It's 1,500 miles square. It's 1,500 miles high. It has streets paved with gold, walls made of jasper, and gates made of pearl. It has the floor of the throne room is crystal glass. It's completely surrounded by a rainbow. And God himself sits on the throne. And surrounding him are cherubim and seraphim and angelic creatures and beasts that you can't imagine. And they spend their whole time. And there's a heavenly supreme court of 24 elders that sits around him. And they spend all day. And it never is night there because the Lamb is the light. And they spend all day saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. Thou art worthy to receive praise and honor and glory. And everybody that's got a crown takes it off and throws it down on the sea of glass in front of him. Why? Because he's the only one worthy to wear the crown. Queen Victoria said, I cannot wait until I can stand. They talked about her crown and the great rubies and diamonds had been brought from India and placed in it and how terribly valuable it was. And they put the crown on her head and she said, I cannot wait until I can put it at the feet of the throne of him that's worthy to wear it. God bless leaders who have that kind of testimony. And my friend, the crowns we've been given, we'll give back to him because we praise him. You see, heaven a physical place, a place of renewal. But listen, we are going to be part of the renewal. We are going to be part of the renewed creation. We're going to live in that new creation. And you say, we're going to be new? Yes. When Jesus went to Calvary, they beat him and it hurt, and he bled. They slapped him and it hurt. They put a crown of thorns on his head and he bled and it hurt. They drove nails in his hands and his feet and it hurt so much. They threw a spear in his side and water and blood gushed out. He agonized and died like any human being. But Deronda and them just sang it a minute ago. 3 days later, what happened? God, the Holy Ghost, entered into that tomb and animated that body. Without unwrapping it, he came out in a glorified body and walked out under his own power, glorified, never to die again, never to be able to die again. You say, he was a spirit. That's what the apostles thought when he came. That's what the disciples thought in the upper room when he came to him. Somebody said, it's his spirit, it's his ghost. He said, do you got anything to eat? And they said, well, we got some bread. And he ate it. We got some honeycomb. Got some fish. Wow. And he stood there before him and he ate them. And you know what he said? He said, touch me and see. Said, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. I'm not a spirit. I'm really resurrected. The one that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took down from the cross and laid in that tomb and wound in the linens and put the spices in. The one that they sealed with the seal of the Roman government and put the watch over. The same one that was beat and tormented and all of that, that's the same one that came out of the tomb, but his body was glorified and his spirit was in it. You say, where was his spirit while he was in the tomb 3 days and three nights? It went to the underworld, to hell, if you please, and preached to the souls that were in prison. You say, is that in the Bible? Sure enough, it is. Sure enough, it's in the Bible. And he preached to the souls that's in prison. But on that great, glorious morning, Jesus Christ came out. And you say, oh, that's so exciting. That's so wonderful. It is. But you know what excites me more? Is that the Scripture said that I will have, glory to God, I will have a body like unto His glorious body. The Scripture says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will also, old English word for make alive, quicken my mortal body. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but it's God that brings life. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, the new creation includes a new Eddie. No more of this. No more of that chair when I am tired. No more of sleepless nights. No more of weakening till you can hardly stand up. It's going to be gone. There's going to be a new Eddie. There's going to be a new Wallace. And Wallace, there won't be any more cancer there. You won't have to go through this ever again. This is the last trip through it. This is the last trip through this. You're going to be free. Hallelujah. There'll be no more Alzheimer's wards and dementia wards there, because the new bodies will never grow old and never be sad. My friends, the new creation. I create a new heaven and I create a new earth. And my friend, that includes a new Eddie and a new whoever you are. that's washed in the blood of the Lamb and saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. And you say, how long is it going to last? It's timeless. It's timeless. You say there won't be any time there. No, that's not exactly true. You say, but the angel came down and put his foot on the land and sea and said, the time is to be no more. Ah, yeah, this time is to be no more. He's talking about where we're living at now. This time is to be no more. The time of war and strife will be no more. The time of Babylon and the harlot will be no more. The time of the beast will be no more. The time of cancer and of disease will be no more. The time of death and hell and the grave will be no more. The angel is declaring that it's over. We used to, you know, when we were kids, just say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, ready or not, here I come, time's up. That's kind of fun. But when you're struggling over an exam and the instructor says, time's up, and you're not done, it's kind of bad, isn't it? That's what the angels are saying, time's up. But it's not saying time is to be no more. Actually, it will be an endless succession of moments. It will never stop. Don't you hate it when you have a really good day and it stops? Don't you hate it when you have maybe a family get together and everybody's there, whenever that can be, and everybody's getting along, whenever that can be, and everybody has plenty to eat and everybody's doing all these good things, and you have this wonderful day and it just, you know, you start out in the morning and it's just so wonderful and so good, but ultimately the sun sets and goes down and the darkness comes and the day is over and it doesn't continue and never to be repeated again. But you see, the scripture said, when he comes and resurrects us to go with him, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Forever and ever and ever. A succession of moments. You say, well, we won't have no time. We won't. Oh, did you just hear what we just read from Isaiah? It says we're going to have moons and suns and months and days. Everybody in the new earth is not going to be living in the city. The new earth is going to be able to sustain a population that you won't believe because there's no more oceans. There's no more seas. The whole earth is habitable. Do you realize before Judgment Day came in Noah's time that it was possible to grow a palm tree in Alaska? It was possible to grow a banana tree in Greenland? You say, what happened? The atmosphere crashed in. Everything changed. Sin's curse ran its course. But in that day, the earth will be as God designed it. And there will be no oceans and no seas. That means that the waters will be over the earth. And the waters will be under the earth. The aquifers will be filled. There will never be a drought in the new earth. There will never be a storm in the new earth because every day the sky will be blue and there will be no storm clouds ever. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Hallelujah. You say, really, preacher? Really, you think so? I really think so. One great moment after another, forever and ever and ever and ever. Just one wonderful, glorious thing succeeding another glorious thing. And can you imagine the nations over the earth coming up to the holy city, worshiping, glorifying God? You say, will there be a scar on that planet? Yes, there will be. place where we look over at the carcasses of them that didn't make it. The Valley of Hinnom, where the fire was not quenched and the worm dieth not. A testimony forever to the judgment of God. And you know who's in there? You know who's being tormented in there? Satan. And all of his angels that joined him. That's who it was created for. And that's who's going to be tormented there. You see, my friend, heaven ought to be the motivation for every Christian. Heaven ought to be the motivation for every person on the earth. I mean, we sing sometimes, I've just got to make it. And I do. I can't afford to miss heaven. I can't afford to miss what's going on. Because you see, when I look at what's over yonder, as we say, just beyond the mountaintops, beyond the rainbow, oh, my friend, think about it. Think about it. A place of grand and glorious beauty. I can't imagine. This cherry tree out here at the corner of the church has been so pretty this last week. In heaven, it will bloom every month. Every month. You say, every month? Jenny, when your dad was young and he used to sing in church and play the guitar, he had a pretty good voice and a pretty good lick. You know what the song he used to sing? It'll always be springtime in heaven where the lovely roses always bloom. You say, is that true, preacher? Yeah, it is. It's true. Every month the trees bloom. Every month the trees put forth fruit. What a glorious place it will be. A place of abundance. Never anything. Can you imagine the 12 foundations of the city? Are each foundation a precious stone? Can you imagine a 1,500-mile square topaz? Or a 1,500-mile square diamond? Can you imagine 1,500 miles times four of jasper stone? Can you imagine 12 gates of pure pearl? Can you imagine streets of gold that's so refined that it's translucent and you can see through it? Oh, hallelujah. And it's a place where you'll never hear a siren, because there'll never be anyone who need one. You're never going to look up the streets of glory and happen to see a hearse coming down, because they won't need one. You'll never walk down that street and happen to come by the New Jerusalem Memorial Hospital, because no one will ever be sick. And you'll never go down the street of gold and happen to look over and see Zion's Health and Rehabilitation Center. You know why? Because no one will ever get old. I have heard of a land on the far away strand, beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, where we never shall die. It's a land where we'll... That was my mother's favorite song at the end. She hated what she saw in the mirror. She hated what had come to her. I don't know if you ever saw a picture of my mom when she was young, but she made Marilyn Monroe look like she might need to spruce up a little bit. But when she got old and her teeth wouldn't stay anymore and her hair wasn't what it should be and the wrinkles had come and the sagging and the bagging had taken its toll, she said, "My favorite song is the song where we'll never grow old." But there's a little more to the city than that. You see, it's the place where he said, "And God himself," "God himself shall be with them and be their God." Amen. God says he will dwell with them and live with them. And you know what it says about us? And said, "And they shall see his face." Oh my. Fanny Crosby wrote, "Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me." Oh, my brothers and sisters, sometimes I feel maybe like Rusty Goodman before he got cancer and died. Wrote a wonderful song. He wrote a lot of wonderful songs, by the way. But he wrote, "Lately, I've got leaving on my mind." I don't know about you, but I don't want to make this run in vain. I don't want to fail. I don't want to wait till the last mile of the way here and then fail God and fail to do what God wants. Man, I want to make it, Menrose. I want to make it. I want to walk on the streets of gold and I want to stand in all of that glory. But my friend, I want to see Jesus. I want to see God Almighty, the one eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on the one great throne of heaven. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. The burdens of life may be many. The frowns of the world may be cold. But to me, the old hymn says, it will matter but little when I walk up the streets of gold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you motivated today? Are you motivated today? There was an old song we used to sing. We haven't sang it in a long time. "We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. All hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes." We're a people that believes in heaven. How many of you believe in heaven today? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'd like to stroll over heaven with you. Those dumb people that say when we get to heaven we won't know each other. Earl, I'd hate to think that I walked down the street and walked by you and didn't know who you were. Dottie, I'd hate to think I went to heaven and met Herb and didn't know him. Wouldn't it be horrid? It'd be awful. But it's not going to be. Hey, thank you. Say it again.
Be known as you're known.
That's right. That's just what I was about to quote. We shall be known even as we are known. My friend, you have a loved one that's died and is saved. You haven't seen the last of them. There are those who tell you when you walk to the funeral home and you look in the coffin, you'll never see them again. That's a lie. You'll see them glorified. You'll see them better than they've ever been. and you'll know exactly who they are. I'd hate to think that the people I've lived with and worshiped with and rejoiced with all these years would not know me and I would not know them. Wouldn't that be sad? But the scripture is very plain. Heaven is a real place created by a real God for real people who really will live forever in the city and on the new earth that He creates. We used to sing a chorus, "Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? We'll see Jesus in that land. We'll see Jesus in that land. Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound?" If you're not saved today, why would you take a chance? Why would you take a chance on driving out of this crooked road into this holler and going out on that highway that's worse than a cock gun? Why would you take a chance? I mean, not all of us fly around, but Earl does sometimes. Why would you take a chance on getting on an airplane? And I know some of us think that's the worst thing that could happen is get on an airplane. At least the people you're meeting, the pilots, are trained. Why would you take a chance? Do you know really that you're going to live all afternoon? I mean, does old Mr. Death, does he send you a note in the mail and said, "I'm going to come and give you a heart attack on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. You better be ready." It don't happen that way. You say, "You're trying to scare the bejabbers out." No, I'm trying to motivate you to go to heaven. Amen. You don't know how long you've got here, but you know heaven's real because He said it was, and He's prepared it for us. You don't have to be lost. Amen. You don't have to go to hell. Fact is, He don't want you to go to hell. It's not His will that any would perish, but all come to repentance. It's His will that we would come in fellowship with Him. We were created by Him and for Him to live forever. Amen. And He's going to have His way in the end. And the redeemed of the Lord. The redeemed of the Lord are going to say so. Would you stand? And if you get there, my friend, it won't be because you're so good. It won't be because you've done so many great, wonderful things. It will be because of His amazing grace that He came and paid the price and stood in your place when you should have been crucified. Lord Jesus, thank You today for the opportunity to share the Word of God. Thank You for the opportunity to share the blessings of heaven. Lord, let every soul in here be motivated. Oh God, let them be motivated by the prospect of heaven to shun hell and to gain heaven. Oh, Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would You come? If You're lost,